a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you may, during this time, that you may bestow your anointing upon us and each and every one of us. Lord, that we may not treat your word with contempt, but receive it gladly within our hearts. I pray that as the one speaking today, that you may grant me the wisdom and the knowledge to preach your word clearly, so that the congregation may understand and that they may receive it with gladness. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of today's sermon is actually found in verse 20, but this verse 20 sums up what the entire book of Jude is basically saying. So today we'll talk about verse 17 to 19. So in verse 17, Jude says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold." So Jude here says that we need to remember the words of the apostles of Jesus Christ. And if we recall, another apostle of Jesus Christ, well, another apostle has also said this, that we need to recall what the prophets and apostles have said. And that apostle is Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. And why the commands given by the apostles through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so important is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. So if we take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20, Paul here says that as Christians, we are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets. And this foundation is found in both the New Testament and the Old Testament. For no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. So without the prophets, without the apostles, there is no Scripture. There is no prophecy of Scripture. For everything that the prophets have said and have done, its origin is not found in the will of man, but they spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And this is recorded in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. So knowing the significance of the teachings of the prophets and apostles, we need to then respond in such a way that is pleasing to God. And that is in accordance with Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 to 8, where the author of Hebrews, he commands us that we must remember what they have spoken, and we must consider their way of life and imitate their faith. So Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 to 8. It says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So why does the author of Hebrews in verse 8 say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? How does that relate to verse 7? Because this quality of Jesus Christ, so if we imitate the faith of our spiritual leaders and prophets and apostles in the scriptures, then whatever blessing that they got from the Lord, we will also receive because of this quality of God, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his promises will never change. So knowing that we have to listen to the leaders of the church and the prophets and apostles, what do they say exactly? So if we look in Jude verse 18, the leader said, "In the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires." So this is what the leader is saying. And therefore, if we look at... So right now in the church, there are lots of scoffers who treat the word of God with contempt and who follow their own ungodly desires. Therefore, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter says that we need to abstain from sinful desires which war against both, which war against our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and against our soul. So it says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. And then if we do harbor these sinful desires, then we are enemies of God. And that means that the word of God is not with us. And if we recall the parable of the wedding banquet, we can't blame anybody but ourselves, that we are enemies of God, because it is not God himself who did not give us his word, but we choose not to receive his word. Because in the parable of the wedding banquet, as an example, it is not the king who didn't invite the people to the banquet. It is because the people choose not to come. So Jude, so this scenario in the church now, these scoffers who are present in the church, who are spread among the godly people in the church, their numbers are going to increase more and more in the future as we approach Jesus' second coming, as recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So these things should not be a surprise to us, because they were all prophesied about already. And then, if we look next at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. These men, they will not put up with sound doctrine, but instead will want to hear only what they want to hear, to suit their own evil desires. And this 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 is exactly what Jude says in Jude chapter 1, verse 18. And why are these people are like this is because they have not turned to the Lord. And what does it mean when we turn to the Lord? So turning to God means that we need to come before God with humility for the word of God to have any power in our lives. And the blessing that we get if we turn to the Lord is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. That those who turn to the Lord, our veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the veil that is in front of our faces will prevent us from having the word of God, and will prevent us from turning to the Lord. So in order for the word of God to have power in our lives, then we need to look at Matthew chapter 13, which talks about the parable of the sower. Our heart needs to be like the good soil, right? So the seed, which is the word of God, needs to fall on the good soil, And they represent the people who will hear and accept the word of God. So I won't go through the entire Matthew chapter 13. You can just read that on your own. So the good soil, the seed needs to fall on the good soil. And when the seed falls on the good soil, then the people, they have heard and they have accepted the word of God. And the word of God is fruitful in their lives. However, the seed which fell among the thorns, they represent the scenario where the word of God bears no fruit in their lives. So when we hear it, it has no power. Because like the scoffers that Jude talks about, they treat the word of God with contempt. So if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 to 22, the way that we should treat the word of God is that we should not put out the Spirit's fire. Because this Holy Spirit is what tells us what's true and what's not true. And we know that wherever the Holy Spirit is, the evil spirit will be there as well. So every time you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, the evil spirit will be right there beside it. And they are constantly going against one another. So as an example, we can see, so Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. So the voice of the Holy Spirit can be represented by Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. So Holy Spirit says, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. And then if you look at the evil spirit, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 16 to 18. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet, food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. So the evil spirit will tell us to follow in the way of the dead, which will ultimately lead us down to the grave. So the scoffers will follow this voice, Proverbs 9, 16 to 18. And that's where they will end up. So, but we know that we're not scoffers, but we are overcomers. And we need to follow 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 to 22. So first, we should not put out the Spirit's fire. Second, we should not treat prophecies with contempt. Third, we test everything, hold on to the good. And fourth, we avoid every kind of evil. So we just talked about how not to treat prophecies with contempt. The third is to test everything, meaning that whatever we have heard on Sundays or any day, we should check it up and see for ourselves whether it's true or not true. And then God gave us John chapter 7, verse 17, God's promise is that if we do test everything, if we do check it up for ourselves, then we will know whether that command comes from God or from men. So it's important that we put everything that we have learned and heard into practice. So the people, the scoffers, the presence of the scoffers in the church, we know that they're already here, right? Whether we like it or not, they are among us. However, this should not affect whether or not we preach sound doctrine in the church. So what I'm saying is we should still preach sound doctrine in the church, whether people like it or not. And then whether people refuse to listen to it is up to them, but they will face the consequences in the future. So just like Paul, we still need to be prepared in season and out of season to preach the word of truth and to endure persecution as an apostle of Christ Jesus. If we don't do our job in preaching sound doctrine, then God says that he will hold us accountable for our brother's blood, as recorded in Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 to 21. Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 to 21. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him for his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. So in the end, we need to preach what we need to preach, but whether people listen or not is up to them. And when we preach, then we have done our job in accordance with Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. And God will not hold us accountable for our brothers and sisters going to hell. So as an example, if we look at Paul's life, in Acts chapter 20, verse 25 to 32, we know that Paul, throughout his missionary journeys, he has done what Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, 21 says, right? He has preached what he was supposed to preach, and he has done his job. So in Acts chapter 20, verse 25 to 32, he is able to say that in verse 26, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. So Paul is truly innocent of the blood of all men because Paul has done what God has commanded him to do. So even though Paul preached the word of God, there are still a few churches in the New Testament where they didn't really listen to Paul. So an example of that would be the church of Galatia. So these in this church, the savage wolves came and distorted the truth, and then still drew away the disciples. So if we look at the example of Church of Galatia in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. So the Galatians ended up abandoning the true gospel, as Paul has recorded in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Even though Paul has spent time ministering before them. And then the second and third examples are the churches of Thyatira and Pergamum in Revelations. So God rebuked these two churches because they allowed false teachers inside of the church. And then if we take a look at the Church of Philadelphia, which is like on the opposite end of the spectrum, and this church is richly blessed by God because they carried their cross and they have endured for the sake of the gospel by speaking the truth in love. So the Church of Philadelphia, they did not abandon the gospel. It's just that they they spoke the gospel. However, they were persecuted because of that. And if we look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, even though they were persecuted by men, God, however, promised them eternal glory in exchange for their suffering. Yeah, so God promised, so those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and he with me. So the people of the church of Philadelphia, they were able to come eat with Jesus Christ. So if we go back to Jude chapter 1, verse 18. So if we look, study more at, study what these scoffers are like. So 18, Jude says that, they say to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. So what do these scoffers scoff about? So if we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, Peter explains what how the scoffers think. Peter says that they purposefully go against the gospel, trapped in the futility of their thinking. So if we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 to 7. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. "Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So these scoffers, they purposely go against the gospel and they're trapped in the futility of their thinking. And they believe that the old heaven and old earth will remain forever here and will never change. And as you can see from this passage, they are ignorant of God's words and they forget that by the power of the word of God, everything was created. So they basically undermine the power of God's words, thinking that nothing will happen to them because they don't see it happening right now. And then, so basically, so God's sentence has not yet come upon these people to punish these scoffers, and therefore they will continue to do wrong, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. So these people are building up judgment. For themselves against God. When the sentence of a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. So this is exactly what the people are like. So now if we move on to Jude chapter 1, verse 19. These people are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the spirit. So in verse 19, these men are characterized by three things. First, they divide men. Second, they follow mere natural instincts. And third, they do not have the Holy Spirit. So regarding the division of men, the reason why they divide men is because they do not have the Word of God, and they teach men to follow other men and not God. An example is found in the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 18, where the congregation ended up being divided into several groups. A group that followed Peter, group that followed Apollos, group that followed Paul. So within this church, there were lots of jealousy and quarrels and divisions. And the reason why the people of this church, they decided to follow these men was because, so each person found, so when these apostles were preaching, they preached what the people liked to hear. So the congregation just naturally gravitated towards the things that they want to hear, and not the true gospel themselves. But they don't know that eventually, ultimately, everything is through God, right? Whatever they preached, everything that was preached by them came through God. So, and then if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, Paul condemns the church for belonging to the world. They are mere infants in Christ, only drinking spiritual milk, not solid food. So this act of division, dividing men, is immaturity in Christ Jesus. And the church of Corinth, the people in the church of Corinth, they haven't changed, right? They were like this from the beginning, and they're still like this now. So therefore, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, what did God command us? In order to prevent any divisions, God says that we must be unified in speaking the word of God. We must reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 to 12. Paul says that when we are children, we quarrel and fight, just like a child. We have the mind of a child and we think like a child. But as a man, we need to put the childish acts behind us. So it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. So the second characteristic is that these men follow mere natural instincts. And as a result, it also ties on to my third point, which is that they do not have the Holy Spirit. So if we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we belong to the world and we are still controlled by our sinful nature. So Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And then a good example of this is the church of Philippi. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 8. So in the church of Philippi, there are two groups of people. one group of people preach the word of God out of goodwill, and they do it in support of Paul because they love God and they support Paul while he's in prison. Whereas the other group of people, they preach Christ out of selfish ambition and not out of sincerity. And actually, they go against Paul by stirring up more trouble for him. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has already served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in the chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. So these people who preach Christ out of selfish ambition, they are people who are controlled by their sinful nature. So we know that both of these two groups of people, both they preach Christ, but we know that there is a difference. If we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, their end result is different. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So the outcomes of these two groups of people are different. Though the latter group, they preach Christ, they do it out of selfish ambition. Though they call Lord, their works will not be remembered in the sight of God. So, and then if we look at Romans chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. They get what, the second group of people actually get what they deserve, because they're not preaching Christ to seek glory and honor, but are instead they're self-seeking, and in the end, anger and wrath await them. It reads, "God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." Then if we look at James chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. James chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. It reads, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." So James says that these people, they're actually earthly, unspiritual, and they come from the devil. Although on the outside, they may seem wise. And then if we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Those people who harbor selfish ambitions, these people will never inherit the kingdom of God. So it reads, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So after hearing the words of the prophets and apostles, what should our call to action be? How do we keep ourselves from being becoming scoffers who treat the word of God with contempt? And our ways, So if we look at Proverbs chapter 1, 20 to 33, this should be our way instead. But more focused on verse 23. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Well, I'll read 20 to 33. So it reads, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me and I will not answer. They will look for me but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. So after hearing everything that we hear every Sunday or every Friday or every Wednesday, we must be responsive on how God is telling us to turn around and repent. If we do, then God promised us, according to verse 23, that he will pour his spirit onto us and make his words known to us. And then if we continue to look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 6, it reads, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it, ask for silver, and search for it, ask for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So the Lord's rebuke is wisdom, and in accordance with verse 2, we must turn our ears to it and apply our hearts to it. We need to ask God for wisdom, for insight, and for understanding, because we know that God is a God, is a Father who gives the best gifts to his children. Then, only then will we have a complete understanding for God's will for us. So that is all I have for today. So let us close off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as you have spoken to us today, I pray that we may apply our hearts to understanding. Lord, I pray that you may give us circumcised ears and circumcised hearts to apply our wisdom and our knowledge to your word, that we may not be like the scoffers who treat your words with contempt, who mock it, but humbly turn to you, and that according to your good and precious promise, that you may take away the veil from our face, that we may all reflect your glory. For we know that in the end, we know that there will be more and more people who will turn away from you, and there will be more and more false teachers and false prophets. But you, O Lord, because you are a God who remains the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I pray that whatever you promise to the prophets and apostles, your true prophets and apostles, Lord, I pray that you may give the same to us, that we may remain steadfast and we may run the good race, finish the race, and get the crown of righteousness and glory. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.